I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land. My body has frozen in our frosts and in our latter-day snows. It has thawed in the warmth of our sunshine and melted in the heat of the midday sun. The crack and the rumble of the summer thunders, lashed by startling lightning, have been a cause both of trembling and of hope. The fragrances of nature have been as pleasant to us as the sight of the wild blooms of the citizens of the veld. The dramatic shapes of the Drakensberg, soil-colored waters of the Likwa, Igqili, Nothukela, and the sands of the Kalahati have all been panels of the set on the natural stage on which we act out the foolish deeds of the theater of the day. At times, and in fear, I have wondered whether I should concede equal citizenship of our country to the leopard and the lion, the elephant and the springbok, the hyena, the black mamba, and the pestilential mosquito. A human presence among all of these, a feature on the face of our native land justified, I know that none dare challenge me when I say I am an African. I owe my being to the koi and the sun whose desolate souls haunt the great expanses of the beautiful Cape. They who fell victim to the most merciless genocide our native land has ever seen. They were the first to lose their lives in the struggle to defend our freedom and independence, and they who as a people perished in the result. Today, as a country, we keep an audible silence about these ancestors of the generations that lived, fearful to admit the horror of the former deed, seeking to obliterate from our memories a cruel occurrence, which in its remembering should teach us not and never to be inhuman again. find a new home on our native land. Whatever their own actions, they remain still part of me. In my veins courses the blood of the Malay slaves who came from the East. Their proud dignity informs my bearing, their culture a part of my essence. The stripes they bore on their bodies from the lash of the slave master are a reminder embossed on my consciousness of what should not be done. I am the grandchild of the warrior men and women that incensed Kukuni land. Patriots at Tetuayo and Mpepu took to battle. The soldiers Mushweshwe and Ngungunyane taught never to dishonor the cause of freedom. My mind and my knowledge of myself is formed by the victories that are the jewels in our African crown. The victories we earn from Isandlwana to Khartoum.
I wanna dance on you, DJ.
As the Ashanti of Ghana, as the Berbers of the desert.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but that last song, it had no lyrics, but I got the message. It said you like to beat your drumstick against the skin of my drum, right? And that effective pause was really just you waiting for my answer.
Struck a chord, but you should hear the sounds I make if you tug on my G-string. coronavirus tests and more than 12 million screenings. This is much more than what many other countries, especially on our continent, have been able to do. There are nearly 60,000 community health workers who have been going door to door across the country to identify possible cases of coronavirus. In preparation for the expected increase in infections, around 20,000 hospital beds have been and are being repurposed for COVID-19 cases. There are 27 field hospitals that are being built around the country. A number of these hospitals are ready to receive coronavirus patients. At the same time, we have experienced several challenges, including a shortage of diagnostic medical supplies, such as test kits, as a result of the great demand for these supplies across the world. This has contributed to lengthy turnaround times for coronavirus testing, which in turn has had an impact on the effectiveness of our programs. But we are attending to this. The scale and the speed of the public health response to this emergency has been quite impressive, but there is still much more that we still need to do. We have known all along that the lockdown would only delay the spread of the virus, but that it would not be able to stop it. Until there is a vaccine available to all, the coronavirus will continue to spread in our population. This means that we must get used to living with this coronavirus for some time to come. There is a massive global effort to develop a vaccine, of which our own country, South Africa, is part. Government is supporting and funding several research projects, including a plan to locally manufacture coronavirus vaccines as soon as candidates are available. We will use the skills, the expertise, the infrastructure, and the organizations within the vaccines industry in our country to produce and distribute the vaccine. We have argued that should a vaccine be developed anywhere in the world, it should be made freely available and equitable to all the citizens of all countries in the world. As scientists had predicted, the infections in our country have now started to rise sharply. 1/3 of the cumulative confirmed cases were recorded in the last week alone. And we should expect that these numbers will rise even further and even faster. Various models have been built by model builders to predict the trajectory of the virus. We'll be right back.
People of South Africa, and that you will subscribe to the highest values that are inscribed in our Constitution.
comrades and friends. Today all are stood by our presence here and by our celebrations in other parts of our country and the world. Confirm glory and hope to newborn lives. Out of the experience of an extraordinary human disaster that lasted too long, must be born a society of which all humanity will be proud. Our daily duties as ordinary South Africans must produce an actual South African reality that will reinforce humanity's belief in justice, strengthen its confidence in the nobility of the human soul, and sustain all our hopes for a glorious life for all. All this we owe both to ourselves and to the peoples of the world, who are so well represented here today. To my compatriots, I have no hesitation in saying that each one of us is as intimately attached to the soil of this beautiful country as are the famous Jacaranda trees of Pretoria and the mimosa trees of the Bushveld. Each time one of us touches the soil of this land, we feel a sense of personal renewal, the national mood changes as the seasons turn. We are moved by a sense of joy and exhilaration when the grass turns green and the flowers bloom. That spiritual and physical oneness we all share with this common home.
Exclusive.
And the death of the pain we all carry in our hearts as we saw our country tear itself apart in terrible conflict. We'll be right back.
Represented in our parliament, the business, trade unions, and the community constituency. We've met with our premiers, our mayors, representatives of the South African Local Government Association, SALGA, the traditional leaders in our country, and representatives of the interfaith communities. As we have done from the start of this crisis, we've also sought the advice of the Ministerial Advisory Committee that advises our Minister of Health on COVID-19, who are a group of highly qualified, respected, and experienced scientists, clinicians, and epidemiologists, as well as public health experts. We're extremely grateful for the work that this Ministerial Advisory Committee has been able to do and continue to do to ensure that our response is informed by the best available scientific evidence. We appreciate the diverse and sometimes challenging views of the scientists and health professionals in our country, which stimulate public debate and enrich our response, and we respect that. We've also been guided by advice from the World Health Organization and the Africa Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is part of the African Union. As we are dealing with a pandemic that affects the lives and the livelihoods of all South Africans, it was important that we consult as widely as possible. These consultations have been both necessary and worthwhile, in that we received several constructive suggestions. These suggestions have enriched the thinking in government, providing a direct view of the challenges that our people in different constituencies confront. The groups we consulted are as diverse and as varied as the South African people themselves. And all of them agree that we acted appropriately and decisively to slow the spread of the virus. They are all united in their insistence that our central goal must be to save lives and to protect livelihoods. While there are several areas of difference, all of these groups are in broad agreement on the approach we need to take to build on the gains that we have made thus far. While the nationwide lockdown has been effective, it cannot be sustained indefinitely. We introduced the five-level COVID-19 alert system to manage the gradual easing of the lockdown. This risk-adjusted approach is guided by several criteria, including the level of infections and the rate of transmission, the capacity of our health facilities, the extent of the implementation of public health interventions, and the economic and social impact of continued restrictions. It is on the basis of these criteria and the following consultation that cabinet has determined that the alert level for the whole country should be lowered from level 4 to level 3, with effect from the 1st of June 2020. Moving to alert level 3 marks a significant shift in our approach to the pandemic. This will result in the opening up of the economy and the removal of a number of restrictions on the movement of people, while significantly expanding and intensifying our public health interventions. We'll be right back.
Mr. Afro Deep.
Thank you.
their victory in acquiring and exercising their right to formulate their own definition of what it means to be African. The Constitution whose adoption we celebrate constitutes an unequivocal statement that we refuse to accept that our Africanness shall be defined by our race, our color, our gender, or our historical origins. It is a firm assertion made by ourselves that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white. It gives concrete expression to the sentiment we share as Africans and will defend to the death that the people shall govern. It recognizes the fact that the dignity of the individual is both an objective which his society must pursue and is a goal which cannot be separated from the material well-being of that individual. It seeks to create a situation in which all our people shall be free from fear, including the fear of oppression of one national group by another, the fear of the disempowerment of one social echelon by another, the fear of the use of state power to deny anybody their fundamental human rights, and the fear of tyranny. It aims to open the door so that those who are disadvantaged can assume their place in society as equals with their fellow human beings without regard to color, to race, to gender, to age, or to geographic dispersal. It provides the opportunity to enable each one and all to state their views, to promote them, strive for their implementation in the process of governance without fear that a contrary view will be met with repression. It creates a law-governed society which shall be inimical to arbitrary rule. It enables the resolution of conflicts by peaceful means rather than resort to force. It rejoices in the diversity of our people and creates the space for all of us voluntarily to define ourselves as one people. As an African, this is an achievement of which I am proud. Proud without reservation and proud without any feeling of conceit. Our sense of elevation at this moment also derives from the fact that this magnificent product is a unique creation of African hands and African minds. But it also constitutes a tribute to our loss of vanity that we could, despite the temptation to treat ourselves as an exceptional fragment of humanity, draw on the accumulated experience and wisdom of all humankind to define for ourselves what we want to be. Together with the best in the world, we too are prone to pettiness, petulance, selfishness, and short-sightedness. But it seemed to have happened that we looked at ourselves and said, the time had come we make a superhuman effort to be other than human, to respond to the call to create for ourselves a glorious future, to remind ourselves of the Latin saying, Gloria est consequenta. Glory must be sought after. Today, it feels good to be an African. It feels good that I can stand here as a South African and as a foot soldier of a titanic African army, the African National Congress, to say to all the parties represented here, to the millions who made an input into the processes we are concluding, to our outstanding compatriots who have presided over the birth of our founding document, to the negotiators who pitted their wits one against the other, to the unseen stars who shone unseen as the management and administration of the Constitutional Assembly, the advisors, the experts, the publicists, and to the mass communication media, to our friends across the globe, congratulations and well done. I'm an African. I'm born of the peoples of the continent of Africa. The pain of the violent conflict that the peoples of Liberia and of Somalia, of the Sudan, of Burundi and Algeria is a pain I also bear. The dismal shame of poverty, suffering and human degradation of my continent is a blight that we share. The blight on our happiness that derives from this and from our drift to the periphery of the ordering of human affairs leaves us in a persistent shadow of despair.